The epistle for the third Sunday of Lent is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is the serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others, tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted and will distribute the spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water seeking rest, and not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. As for the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, this Sunday reading of the Gospel of St. Luke reminds us that the devil is Christ's enemy. Jesus, during his public life, he met people who had the ostensibly possessed by Satan, diabolic possession, and he performed the exorcism. He did not need to follow the ritual that we use when we do them, but he sent the devils out, cast them out of the people that they possessed. In the Roman Catholic Church, when a seminarian is advancing in the orders, the minor orders, one of the minor orders is the exorcist. He receives the power to cast devils out in the seminary. And then we have always protections from Satan's influence, like, for example, the Saint Benedict medal. And we invoke Saint Benedict against Satan. There's a special prayer that of Saint Benedict to tell Satan to be lost, to get lost, to leave, as they would say in Canada, take off. You know? It goes basically like this. Go back, Satan. Don't persuade me with vain things. Those things which you prefer are evil. Drink your own poison. That's the prayer of Saint Benedict. It's right on the medal. It's all abbreviated with just initials. But if you get the Saint Benedict medal, and we have them, by the way, in the bookstore, they have the little card that comes with it and that little prayer against the influence of Satan. And it's certainly a good little prayer to know and to use whenever we have temptations, whether it be against any virtue or any commandment. For example, in your collection basket is coming around and you're tempted to be stingy, you know, you can say that prayer. You know, go back, Satan. I'm going to be generous instead. You know? Or if you're tempted to hate someone or to think evil towards a person, you can say that prayer. Go back, Satan. Don't persuade me with vain things. What you bring forth is evil. Drink your own poison. And by doing just the opposite of what Satan suggests in our temptations, we defeat him in a battle. Remember speaking of battles, it reminds us of the help of Saint Michael the Archangel against Satan. We say that in the prayer to Saint Michael at the end of Low Mass. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. What battle? Well, the battle of temptations from Satan. He puts forth bad ideas, even though some of it's true. If there wasn't anything in it true, nobody would listen to him at all. He always has something true in his temptations. But when he does tempt us, we once also would ask Saint Michael to help. Saint Michael, defend us. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. Meaning, of course, the wickedness reminds us of our baptismal vows. When we take our baptismal vows, we renounce Satan himself. And then two other things about him, his works and his pomps or display. When the devil puts something on display, it's a whole lot like a retailer who has a glass storefront in his store so that people walking by the front of his store can see what he has for sale. Right? Now, if the retailer put only ugly and broken things in the storefront, people would not want to stop there in the store and look at the merchandise because it doesn't look appealing. When the devil puts his display forth to us, he only shows us what will be very good about our sins that he wants us to commit, to give into. His display. He wants to hide from you the fact that inside the rest of the story is rotten and corruption and leads us to hell. And we have to learn to unmask his display and to realize just how corrupt it is so that we do not give in. That's something we have to practice as we go along. The devil can never completely hide himself, though. You imagine the typical, you know, drawing of a devil with a, you know, a naked, ugly man with, you know, pointed ears and horns and wicked look on his face and red skin everywhere, and his tail. He has a tail with a point on the end of his tail, carrying a pitchfork or something like that. A typical depiction in art of an angel, I mean a fallen angel, the devil. And he, although he puts a display in front of us, a temptation, he can never completely hide himself. He does hide, but he cannot hide completely. He's never permitted to be totally disguised. You'll see a little pointed tail sticking out from behind a telephone pole or something like that. You know? Aha! It's the devil. Again. He comes to us every day. Disguised. And of course, he wants us to not even suspect that he exists. Which is always something. You can always sense something is wrong. You know, maybe even if just the smell of sulfur in the air or something that's not quite right and you know you need to investigate before you can go forward with something. The devil is a trickster. He knows that we can only think of one thing at a time because of our limited human intelligence. And so he likes to focus us on one thing and make our decisions based only on that one fact to which he focuses us and suggests to us. And he's very successful. According to the common opinion of the saints of the church and the church doctors, and of course also the Holy Scriptures tell us, most people go to hell. Even most Catholics go to hell. Because the devil is tricky and people don't figure him out. They don't take the care and the trouble to track his action and do the opposite of what he suggests. Most people just don't try. And if we really do this, if we really try to check and see what he's doing to ourselves, each one of us, what is he doing to me? What kind of work is he trying on me now? Then we will start to unmask his plans. And he cannot succeed once we see his evil designs. So we, the world pretends he doesn't exist, but the more the Catholic Church in general goes downhill with this great crisis that we're facing today of churchmen without the faith, the more the devil comes out of the closet. And the more he manifests himself openly, much like it was before the coming of Christ. And so let us not doubt for one minute that Satan exists. If we have taken our baptismal vows, we vowed to reject Satan. If he doesn't exist, what does that vow mean? But we took a solemn vow to reject him, a solemn vow of baptism. Do you renounce Satan? I do renounce him. Let us keep that vow, always. But in order to renounce him each time he comes back at us, we need to notice him. And when we notice him and renounce him, and his works in display. We're keeping our baptismal vows and worthy to be rewarded for that. In today's gospel, the good Lord says this parable to these Jews who accused him of using Satan's power to expel Satan from people, to do exorcisms. He tells them the story about the one who had the devil sent away, and then his house was cleaned and yet remained empty. It was clean, swept, and garnished. Clean, swept, and garnished. Decorated even. But empty. And Satan had been kicked out and going through places without water. In other words, where he didn't want to be, he decided to re-enter this person. And he found it empty. And so he was able to re-enter. If our souls are empty, the devil can come in. And that is why we have to keep them filled with, first of all, the holy faith. That faith which was taught by Christ and by the apostles and kept in the Holy Church for centuries and centuries comes under attack all the time. We have to keep that faith in our souls, and we have to keep it strong. So we need to practice the faith, to say our daily prayers, and with meaning in the words that we pronounce, to study the catechism and teach it to others. As our faith is strengthened when we teach its tenets, repeat them to ourselves or to someone else. And strengthened. And then to act according to the faith. Take action. The things that we do, if they're based on what we believe, they're actions of faith. For example, when we pass a church, to acknowledge the presence, the real presence of the Blessed Sacrament, we sign ourselves with the sign of the cross. This is an act of faith. I believe Jesus is there, substantially present in the Holy Eucharist. Now, when you go past the Novus Ordo Church, you can say, okay, Lord, you know, if it was a valid Mass, all right, here's a sign of the cross for you, you know. Certainly most of them are, but we have a doubt if it's a Novus Ordo Mass because of the changes that were done to appease the Protestants. So, acts of faith strengthen our faith. Our prayer is said with meaning in the words. I mean, we really mean the words we say when we pray. And then studying it and teaching it. Now, the faith has to fill our souls to keep the devil out. It's a shield of protection. St. Paul says in one place, against the fiery darts of the evil one. The devil shoots flaming arrows at our souls. And a strong faith will just let them strike and bounce off and not harm us. We resist the devil by a strong faith. And then to be filled also with Jesus himself. That is done by, first of all, our faith by which we know him, and then by our love. We really have to bear love towards Jesus. This is something which is very much neglected these days. Jesus wants to be loved by you, and not just a little. He wants you to appreciate him for what he is, that he is the Son of God, that he created us, that he redeemed us with his precious blood. And had he not redeemed us, we would not be able to go to heaven. It would not be possible. And so we owe him that he opened the gates of heaven to us so that it made it possible for us to enter. And that calls for some kind of gratitude and love. And so that we keep the good Lord in our souls by our faith and by our love that we bear to him. And to do this, we ought to tell him that we love him. Jesus, I love you. I'm grateful for all that you have done for me and all that you still want to do yet for me. I want to be on your good side, Jesus. Especially at the last judgment, you know, the side of the just and the sheep instead of the goats. And another very strong expression of love for him is to ask him very frequently, what do you want from me? Anything special, Jesus? Inspire me to do those things that you want. Of course, if he doesn't inspire you with any internal thoughts of what he wants, you can always tell what he wants in many ways. Keep the commandments. Worship him. A Sunday worship is just the public worship that we owe to Jesus. We know some people think, well, I can just worship him out in the woods or at work or in a car. Well, this is all true. However, he wants to be worshiped publicly as well, in a public ceremony. And that's what Mass is about, public worship. And he insists that we do that on all Sundays and all holy days of obligation when we're not unable to because of some serious restriction on us. So the public worship. To worship God is a showing of love to him. We come to the Mass, we come to this beautiful church that we built for him, and we have him in the Holy Eucharist before us. What does he want while we're here? He wants us to worship him by offering with him his death on the cross, which is brought before us at Mass, by offering that with him to his Father and being a part of the sacrifice with him. In other words, we offer Jesus to the Father and we offer ourselves to the Father with him as sort of an extension of himself, his mystical body. And so we offer ourselves in the Mass with Jesus. And we're deputed to do so by our baptism. That is the laity's part in the Holy Sacrifice. They're baptized and therefore deputed to offer themselves and Jesus with themselves when they assist at Mass. And here we become a part of Jesus' sacrifice. And this is how we draw down forgiveness and graces on ourselves. And so we need to be filled with Jesus by our knowledge of him in the catechism, the holy faith, and by our love which we bear to him. And then by unity with him in the Holy Eucharist and receiving communion. Now, you know, we're not permitted to receive communion if we have a big sin on our conscience and we still have to confess it. But after that's confessed, if it's a big sin, or several of them, we then are forgiven and then we should receive him again because we fill our souls with Christ. And he dwells inside of us like a king on his throne, like the temple of God that we are meant to be, our bodies. And so we take the Holy Eucharist into our body by way of food. And we're filled with Jesus Christ. And the devil can have little access that way, as long as we remain filled with him in these ways. So that is the great transforming effect of the Holy Roman Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, on her people. It transforms them from sons of hell and excluded from heaven because of their original sin and their actual sins. It transforms them into children of God and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Roman Catholic Church is our salvation. And it brings us to God and brings God to us. And we must love her. She is the Immaculate Bride of Christ. So today, third Sunday of Lent, let's refocus ourselves on our own souls and see that our enemy, the devil, is trickster as he is. We have to learn to foil his plans and to refuse his display and his pomps, his works. You have to do this on a daily basis. The devil doesn't tempt you once a month. He comes every day. And you learn to recognize him and refuse him as a habitual effort. And then to conquer by filling yourself with Christ and the holy faith and the holy love for God, for Jesus himself, and in the Holy Eucharist. And these things will lead us to the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.